Actually, I was not sure what title I should give to this morning's message. I first put the basic purpose of the church, and then I went back to my original thought when I started preparing for this message, which came from someone meeting about a week ago at the coffee shop. And the title then I gave, "Is the Church Relevant Today?" I remember a few years ago, when I was meeting with some ministers, some pastors, and they started talking about ways how we can reach out to the young people, how we can improve our the attendance in our churches, and how can we bring in young people. They came up with all kinds of ideas, and, you know, let's have this and let's have that. Some sports activities, maybe going bowling, maybe having some little parties and things like that. And I actually reminded them the purpose of the church. And they thought I was old-fashioned and narrow-minded and I didn't move with the times. Things have changed today. People don't respond anymore to the Word of God the way they did in the past. But that's not true. Because I came back actually to the church and we had many young people at that time, and I said, what is it you expect from a church, from our church? Is it activities, entertainment, and so on? And you know what? They laughed actually, and they said, if we wanted entertainment, we wouldn't come to church. There are better places for entertainment. Because, and they were right, how can a church entertain today's young people who have so much entertainment available to them on their fingertips, actually? What is the church? I thought. The basic marks of the church, what are they? Down through the centuries, many theologians have tried to determine what distinguishes a church from other forms of gatherings. And more people are realizing that they are not sure what is the church. Church, the word church and temple, actually, we will make a little study here for about a minute or two to see what a church is. The words church and temple are loosely used to describe worship place. But strictly speaking, they do not mean the same thing and cannot be used in the same way. Temple, or naos in Greek, is a shrine. It's the shrine among the heathen. The shrine contained the idols. You know, they had all kinds of shrines, and they still have them with an idol. And they would worship that idol. Among the Jews, the temple in Jerusalem was the entire building with the outer line around it. Also, the sanctuary in the temple, in which only the priest could enter, is referred to as naos in the Greek New Testament, or in the original writings of the New Testament, which is temple. And that is in Luke 19. The word temple is also used metaphorically as the spiritual temple. By Christ, of his own physical body, he referred to it the temple. In apostolic teachings of the church as the body of Christ. Of local church, and that is found 1 Corinthians 3:16, as referred as temple or church. Of the body of the individual believers is also called or referred to as the temple or naos or the church. Church, ecclesia, the Greek word, means the congregation, assembly. Church, synagogi at the same time, or synagogue, the Greek word again for synagogue is synagogi. And it's interesting that the Jewish people are using a Greek word to describe their meeting places. Synagogue, which means it's made of two Greek words. And it means bringing together, a gathering, a collection, and an assembly. But we'll look at the church. A church, actually, a local congregation this morning. A body of believers in a building or local setting area. Another definition will be a group of persons with the same belief under the same authority. In 1 Corinthians 1:2, we read, "To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours." The word church has a range of meanings today, actually. And even though words are always changing their meaning and we use them with their new meaning, that should not affect a change in the biblical fundamental truths. When the biblical meaning attached to a particular word is inappropriately changed, its proper meaning often is changed and the original sense of the word is diffused. Now, this is a lot of I'm saying a lot of things to describe the church, but bear with me. I'll come to the point. The church was never meant to be an organization, a building, or a man-made religion. The church is made of small or large active living organisms who make up the body of Christ, the one invisible church. The local congregation, the local church, must be a living, breathing, functioning body that is at work in the community and reaches out to the world as God directs and sends. Jesus said to his followers, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." I believe temple, at least our church for now, it's a picture of that. Not only we are active in Montreal, not only we are active in Quebec and Canada, but we've been reaching out to the world with the good news. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can meet the world's needs, nothing else. Business and government, philanthropy, education, and even man-made religions deal with the human problems superficially. They don't go deeper than that. Only a supernatural force can cut and remove the roots of evil and sin in the human heart. That force, that change, comes only from God through Jesus, who uses believers in the local church. A few days ago, as I mentioned to you before, someone asked me the question, and I'm just quoting that little note that I received. It said, "What ways can the church be relevant in a society which seems to be ignoring us more and more?" And actually, the PS note was, especially when it comes to temple. Once again, the question was, what ways can the church be relevant in a society which seems to be ignoring us more and more? Of course, the question is, what is relevant? And everyone may have some understanding of the word relevant. Could mean to some, it means to be up to date or to be part of the community or to be able to relate to people or people to relate to us. The issue here is not whether the church is relevant to society. This is a non-issue, actually. Should be non-issue. People will forever need the gospel. The issue is how we can make the gospel available to the people around us, and how we present it to the people in such a way with the power of God that they may be willing to follow Christ or to become followers of Christ. And Margaret, my daughter, gave me the magazine Faith Today this morning. Said, "Dad, have a look before you preach," because she knew the title of my message, but not the message exactly. And this is Faith Today of this month. And actually the title of it says, Rethinking Willow Creek. I don't know how many of you have heard of the church, this great church, big church, Willow Creek Church. And let me just read a couple of paragraphs. It says, one of North America's major churches now admits flaws in its seeker-sensitive model. What can evangelicals learn from this? And it continues, last summer, Billy Hibbles, I believe, the famous founding pastor of the Willow Creek Church, admitted and he said he blew it. He told participants at this leadership summit that he was facing the wake-up call of his entire ministry. With the assistance of Greg Hawkins, Willow's executive pastor, Hibbles discovered that the key practices of the seeker-sensitive paradigm had not worked. Hibbles states, some of the stuff that we have put millions of dollars into thinking it would really help our people grow and develop spiritually, when the data actually came back, it wasn't helping people that much. I believe this church, this gentleman and his helpers, the leaders, tried their best. But often we try to be relevant to the community and we miss the target. Before the communist revolution in China, there were 22 million Christians. After the revolution, all religion was officially outlawed and the government ordered Christians to be killed. For decades, Christians' lives were threatened, seminaries were closed, Bibles became illegal, and meeting together was dangerous. The West had been kept out of China, and we had no idea what happened to the church in China. When people were allowed into China once again, they found that the church had grown to 60 million people. And this is, the report comes from Michael Frost and Alan Hirsch, the Shaping of Things to Come conference in Texas. How did they do that? This kind of growth is unheard of in the West. They did not have buildings, budgets, programs or workshops. They did not have seeker-sensitive services or small group curriculum. They did not have church growth conferences, seminaries, or degrees in youth ministry. They were at best tolerated in some parts of the country. At worst, they were oppressed, persecuted, tortured, and killed. People now crave relevance more and more. They just want to be the same like others. How can we reach out? In reality, they want a church that entertains them and puts on a good show. We have created a church that values entertainment over doctrine. A pastor of one of the largest churches, a true megachurch actually, said, if we changed our theology, a few people might leave. If we changed our music, half of the church would be gone by next Sunday. If we changed our theology, maybe some people will leave. But if we changed our music, by next Sunday, half of the church would leave. Well, this is happening more and more, I believe. People will come to a church looking for something. Some will go as far as to choose a church by what version of Bible they use. Others will go into a church and look for a nice choir. And if the choir is nice, and you know how many calls we get? Hello, is that an English church? Yes. Do you have a choir? No, we don't. Well, thank you. And they are looking for a church that has a nice choir, that maybe has a little band, and maybe entertains, and maybe they offer coffee while the pastor is preaching, and there are churches who do that. There are churches who would offer a coffee, and they would say, oh, you know, it's okay, feel cool, it's cool, I mean, feel at home, comfortable. If Jesus was here, he would have done the same thing, but actually they have missed the point. If the church becomes just like the world, why would the world want to come to church? If I am saying the same things as everybody else is saying, if the Bible is irrelevant now, and if we have a doctrine, or our church has evolved and has become a church where everything is so exciting, you feel cool, you want to jump, you want to shout, and you know, go home, and you feel lonely now and alone because all that excitement was left in the church. And the church is the place to be, because that's where your spirit, you know what? Skin deep excitement is only skin deep. Lucas Land puts it this way. In an effort to become relevant to the world around us, the church has sold out in ways we often hardly notice. Christian products are big business. Christian music isn't underground anymore. And Christian books are bestsellers. We have not only traded a movement for an institution, but a movement for business. A church was a movement, was not an organization. The church was not a religion, was never meant to be a religion. The church, the believers, the body of believers was a way. That's how it was recognized. It was a movement, something that was alive and was moving. And while it was moving, others were moving with her. In China, the 20 million people have become 60, and that is an older version of the new statistics. Today, they claim there are more than 100 million believers, and you know what? Seekers-friendly churches, workshops are not available to them. They are there because they have seen the change in people. They are there because they've heard the gospel. They are there because they've heard the truth. And they are there because they've seen what the church is doing to the lives of their children and their own lives. The church that gets up in the beginning, I gave you a lot of statistics, a lot of words that probably were very boring. They were boring for me to write them down. But I think we need to know what a church is. The ecclesia, or the church, is a gathering of human beings, not an organization. There are those who will say the Church of England, the Catholic Church, the Protestant Church, the Greek Orthodox Church. You cannot say anything against the Greek Orthodox Church, and I come from Greece, without insulting the government, without insulting every Greek Orthodox, because you refer to the church. And actually, what is the church? It's not this building. This is only a building. The church is the body of Christ, one church. It's not the Catholic Church. It's not the Protestant Church. It's not the Greek Orthodox Church. It's the body of Christ. One body, one head, Jesus Christ. And we are the members of this body. So why is the church empty? Why people are not coming? Someone this morning made a comment and said, we had come a little earlier, why is it that when there is a supper or breakfast or whatever, people come even earlier, and then when we have a Bible study or church, they come late? I don't know. We should ask every individual, I think, why. Or they don't come at all. Because last night they had a party and they couldn't come home early enough, so now they're sleeping in. And others have to go somewhere to see a house. And someone else wants to buy a car. And you remember the story Jesus said? And Jesus said this king had a big party. And he prepared everything. God has prepared everything. And he invited all his good friends, the rich friends, the educated friends. And he said, come to my son's party. And everyone had an excuse. Someone said, no, no, I can't. I just got married. The other one said, no, I want to wait until my father dies. I want to bury him. And the other one said, I just bought a car. No, actually an oxen. And I want to go and try. And all kinds of... Well, today is the same thing. You know why? I believe today the church is losing. And the experiment has failed. They started experimenting with all kinds of things. Why can't we put an orchestra? Why can't we put actually some beautiful singers? Why can't we sort of say that we'll be offering coffee during the service? I mean, you would enjoy a cup of coffee, so would I. But that's not the place. This is where we come together to worship God, our Creator. And I believe what is gone from the church is, what's the word? The respect for God. It's an awesome thing to come in front of God. Yes, we have changed from the old ways that everyone was scared and everyone was sort of humbled in the church to a way that is a very modern today, and a lot of preachers would be praying to God, hey God, you know, here I am. And you know who we're talking to? God, our Creator. So should we be relevant? Yes, we should be very relevant to the needs of people. But the church does not have to become the world. The world has to become like the church, the body of Christ. Not this building, not our organization. The church must always be both counter-cultural and transformative, calling the world out of itself into something new and different. That's what is missing. We're not calling people to come out of itself to something new and different and wonderful and beautiful and hope-giving, but we want to invite them to church so they can enjoy what they've been enjoying out there. You want loud music? We have loud music. You want beautiful women? We have beautiful women. You want good-looking or well-dressed men? We have them too. You want suppers? We have them. And the people come in and a couple of times and they get bored and they leave. I don't blame them because they don't get good service. The world offers great service when it comes to entertainment, not the church. The church must always be both countercultural and transformative, calling the world out of itself into something new and different, and at the same time relevant and accessible to the world it seeks to encounter. We must be relevant to the needs. What are the needs? Well, today we have more and more young people suffering from loneliness. We have more and more single mothers suffering. We have more and more young girls pregnant and not knowing where to go. There are more and more people that are disillusioned and discouraged, and religion has let them down, and governments have been cheating them, and the doctors and the preachers, and what they need is someone to come to them and say, there is a nice shelter for you, an oasis for you. That is the body of Christ. And then tell them what Christ has to offer. That's being relevant to the needs. Jason Johnson, in his article about relevance, writes, relevance, it has become the ecclesiastical buzzword of the postmodern culture. Excuse me. The church spends large amounts of time, energy, and money on this idea of relevance. Relevance is essential, but I think so much time and energy and effort is put into pursuing the wrong thing. I believe that relevance is critical if we are going to be fully devoted, authentic followers of Jesus Christ that truly leave a mark of hope and love in the world. But I don't believe it is our responsibility to consume ourselves with the pursuit of becoming relevant, says Jason Johnson. The drive for church relevance has resulted in consumerism. Consumerism will eventually bite the church. It is a beast that cannot be contained, says Mark Bates. Consumerism has become a monster that is going to bite, or it's at least is biting, destroying the church. The church has become a marketplace, big business. Jesus, when he walked into the temple and he saw all this marketing progress in the temple, he threw them all out. The church or the temple had become very relevant to the needs of people. They needed money. Why go out there to change money here in the church? Well, the churches have become like that. They have now automatic machines. You can use your credit card. You can use your whatever. You can anything you need, the church will provide, except the most important thing: hope, peace, joy, salvation, love. All these things have become secondary. Jesus is not even found in the church oftentimes. The big pastor is found, the big singer is found, the elders are found, the ushers are there, the marketplace is there. But you look for Jesus, you don't find him. How relevant is that? And people are very proud. Oh, we have 10,000 members, we have 5,000 members, we have 300 members. But where is Christ? Often, and I'm not saying all the big churches don't have Christ, and I'm not saying the large churches don't have Christ. All I'm saying is in our desire and our drive to become very relevant, often we forget Christ. Actually, when we as a church and individuals start following Christ and start reflecting him in our daily lives and become the light and the salt where we are, then our lives will supernaturally develop within us as brokenness for the broken, a hope for the hopeless, a love for those who do not know love. The only way someone will know that I love him when I show that love, when I live that life, when I want to tell someone that Christ is the only hope we have, then I have to be that hope. Someone sent us an email, and he just recently, and he said, "I was seeking to find, or I don't have to look for God's face anymore because I found people who represent Christ." Well, that's exactly how the church should be. A church should be an oasis. If I go by that clock that has stopped, I'll never stop. So, the oasis that people are looking for is not a building. It's not an organization. The oasis, you know what? A thirsty and hungry and tired person in the middle of the desert that is about to die of thirst would be very satisfied to find some water in the sand just coming up. He doesn't need the shelter. He doesn't need the sign. He doesn't need the nice cups. He doesn't need any of the luxuries. All he needs is the water. And I believe the church should be the place where that water is coming out from in the desert, and the people find that water and drink it and live. Forget about let's build a nice house. But there are a lot of wells in the desert that are dry. And a dry well is useless. A dry church is useless. The plastic plants are always going to be there, lifeless. This, to me, is what it means to be relevant. Sorry. But rather, relevance is not something that we must pursue, but rather it simply is something that we are. No frills, no formulas, it's just who we are and who we are following. We are following Christ, who died for us, and He is willing to help us go through life. It is just we are as followers of Christ, are devoted to bringing the gospel, the good news, and the beauty of His kingdom to all those who are desperate of a new life and hope. If someone walks in here, I hope he will see the love and the compassion and the truth and the willingness to help that person find something better than just entertain them. We should be relevant with a message, but not necessarily with the ways that some people expect to find to be entertaining. You know what? Entertainment comes later. Because I believe we are happy people. Because when we get together, for example, yesterday, after breakfast, we stayed there and there was a lot of humor and a lot of talking and a lot of love and a lot of hugging. And that's not entertainment, that's love at work, in action. But only comes when we put Christ first and we focus on Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You so much, for You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, forgive us, forgive the church for looking elsewhere to find hope and joy and relevance. Lord, You are our Creator, You are our Sustainer, and You care, and You are the same. The human heart has not changed. The human hunger has not changed. The thirst has not changed. The ways may have changed. The formulas may have changed, but You have not. I pray and hope this morning that every one of us will be touched by Your Holy Spirit and help us to know what part of the body of Christ we are, and help us function so we will be part of this functioning, living body, the body of Your body, Lord, the church. And help each one of us to be willing to go out and spread the good news that the only hope is in You and through You. In Your blessed name I pray, amen.